As I was thinking through this service and this concept this morning, I was thinking about a prayer that was attributed to John Wesley. And it was called this covenant prayer. And sometimes when we think of life and death and things like this, we know intellectually what we believe. But sometimes the hard work is actually believing what we believe. You ever felt that way? Like, we don't believe, but it's hard to actually believe it sometimes. Wesley wrote this prayer. It's called the Covenant Prayer. And I've always loved the words where it says this. It says, I'm no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to do, put me to suffer. Let me be employed for thee, or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. Now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. Let the covenant that I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. That's a prayer that I heard Bishop Carter talk about this one time. For whatever reason, bishops are coming to the city to have heart attacks. I don't know if we're being hateful or what it is, but like, we get a bishop to give a heart attack, and that's kind of our motive. And here's about this prayer. This is a prayer that I've prayed for decades, literally. I've heard it said a million times. I've prayed it myself. I've prayed it at services. It's a prayer that I've heard a million times. But Bishop Carter said, you know, it's interesting when we think about things like that, almost like the song we sing in church called Blessed Be Your Name, where it's very easy for us to say, Blessed Be Your Name, O God, in the times of plenty. It's very easy to say, Blessed Be Your Name, when things are good. It's very easy to say, thank you, God, when things are easy, if you will. But it's hard to say, blessed be your name, when things are difficult. You know, it's easy to pray, Lord, let me have all things. Then to say, let me have nothing. I don't want nothing. I want lots and lots of stuff. I don't want nothing. I want what I want. You know, let me suffer, it says. Put me to doing. I like doing. Y'all know me. I'm ADD. I like doing. Doing is my thing. I can do all day long. But put me to suffering. No, thank you. I don't want to get stuck in traffic on 42. Oh, on the Heritage Road. You know, on the mornings, I think things preachers shouldn't think. You know? And that's my suffering. Seriously. That's our suffering, isn't it? Is our suffering for most of the world is a minor inconvenience. So put me to doing? Sure. Put me to suffering? No, thank you. I'm not signing up for that. No, thank you. But if we notice in our life is a mixture of those good and bad things, isn't it? Our life is a mixture of blessings and challenges. Our life is a mixture of laughter and tears. Our life is a combination of the good and the bad. And the reality we have to believe and hold to, even when we don't want to, even when we don't believe what we believe, even when we believe it and we don't believe it, that God's there. That God's there. Even when it's tough. Bishop Carter told the story about praying that prayer. Boy, he went for quadruple bypass surgery. He said, Lord, to in that moment say, Lord, if I have to suffer for you, I'll do it. He said, I couldn't pray it. I should. But I want that. But the reason why we can pray is what it says in the end. Thou art mine, and I am thine. It's not just that God is yours.
it's not just that you have taken faith, and that you've made a step towards God, that you have clung tight to God. That's nice. That's awesome. But the miracle is not just that. It's not just that God is yours, but it's that you are God's. It's not just that you desire God. That's awesome. But what's even greater than the fact that you desire God is that God desires you. So the reason why we can rejoice in tough times, and the reason why we can have hope when we shouldn't have hope, and the reason why we can stand when we want to crumble to our knees, is because God has me. God has me. And so no matter what happens in life, good or bad, God has me. It's not just that I have God. It's that God has me.
I've always liked maps.
I'm weird.
Y'all know that. That's no surprise.
I'll go to my phone sometimes and just pull up Google Earth and just like look at stuff. Y'all do that? Probably not, because you're normal. Oh, look at how zoomed in. I can find my house. That just makes me happy. You know, I can see stuff. I can go to like cities and like, oh, I'm going to New York City. I'm going to New York City on my phone. I'm good. I don't have to leave my house now. I like maps. When I was a kid, I had books of atlases. I know I'm weird, but I like maps. Maps are awesome. I passed it on to my kids. We had this picture of Disney World, where I think Thomas is more excited about the map of the layout of Disney World than he is actual Disney World. I mean, he's studying the map and we're figuring it out. I've always liked maps. I remember when the first GPS stuff started coming out for your computer. I remember we were in Philadelphia, and my Philadelphia church was go to the middle of nowhere and drive 5 more miles. I mean, it literally was in the middle of nowhere. And I was driving on dirt roads. I mean, it was crazy. It was all over Winston and Kemper and the Neshoba counties. I went to Sugar Lock for some reason, just because I love Sugar Lock. Sugar Lock's right down the road. I mean, I should have been in Sugar Lock. Why would I go there? But I did because I could. I mean, it was right down the road. And so what I did is, remember the old antennas you had for your car phone? You know, when they get no cell service, you get the little antennas, pop on the roof of your car, and run a little wire attached to your phone, a little brick blue Nokia phone that we all had that you play Snake on. Come on, you people, y'all played Snake. Don't give me that look. You played Snake on your phone. I have Snake on my phone right now. I have an Android that I can play Snake on. Snake was awesome. But I had a laptop that had a mapping program on it. So I could buy this antenna and attach it to my car. And then I could like get a GPS signal on my computer. So I had like GPS on my laptop in my car. It was awesome. So as bad as I am right now with my phone, can you imagine how bad a driver was when I had a laptop on my dashboard? It was awesome. I mean, I could go anywhere at any time and know where I was. I love knowing where I was. I love finding myself on the map. I love having some clue where it's going to turn out. I've always loved maps. I just have. I've always loved maps. And today, All Saints Day is the day of maps. It's the day of maps. Today we see where we are. Today we see where we're going. We can see exactly where we are. Then we can see exactly where we're going.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 18.
Where the word says this, it says in Revelation. John the Revelator had a vision and saw this. He said, "And I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'
And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these clothed in white robes? And where have they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. He said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We see, we'll read this text, we see where we are, we see where we're going. Now, of course, where we are actually isn't addressed in the text. To see where we are, we have to look around. We have to look all around us. And it's really not that hard to look around. But it's kind of scary to look around. To live in an age of Ebola. To live in an age of ISIS. To live in an age of terrorism. To live in an age of fear. To live in an age of the economy crashing. We live in an age and a day and a time when we're scared of everything. When the boogeyman is right around the corner at all times. And we're so afraid of everything. We live in a time of fear. We live in an age of fear. An age where just all of us are all the time scared. Scared of something. Scared of something bad happening. Scared of something getting us. Scared of something collapsing. We are just in an age of fear. You don't believe me? Turn on the news. You're going to be turning off and run out your house here. We live in an age of fear. It's funny. Ebola's what we're all scared of right now. You know what's interesting? In Jesus' day, you know what the greatest fear of that day was in Jesus' day was leprosy. Leprosy was a disease that was passed by contact. That's why when you got leprosy, you had to leave the town. That's why lepers, if you ever notice the scripture, Jesus always heals lepers as he's going into town or leaving town. He never healed lepers in the midst of town. Because what they did in those days was if you had leprosy, they made you leave. You had to leave the town, you had to go outside, and you were not allowed anywhere near anybody else. If you were a leper, you couldn't go to church or Walmart. You couldn't go to the synagogue, and you couldn't go to market. Can you imagine having to go to church at Walmart? Oh my gosh, I couldn't handle that. Church at Walmart, that's where everything's at. Can you imagine not being able to hug your mother? Because you were a leper and you couldn't touch anybody. Could you imagine not being able to hug your child? Because you were a leper and you couldn't touch anybody. Can you imagine having your brother or sister grieving the loss of your parents and not only being able to go to the funeral because you were a leper and you couldn't touch anybody, but you couldn't hug your sibling because you were a leper and you couldn't touch anybody. You were literally untouchable. So Jesus, in an age of fear towards the untouchable, what he did was he healed them. And because of Jesus, they were welcomed back. Because of Jesus, they were restored to life. Because of Jesus, they were restored to the family. They were welcomed back in. Jesus takes those that have been cast out and cast aside and pushed away and broken and spit upon and mocked. And he was broken and spit upon and mocked so they could one day be brought back into the family. Jesus is a God, the Son of God. That goes to the ones that have been cast aside. He says, no. Not in my kingdom.
Not in my kingdom.
That's not the way it works.
In my kingdom, there are no untouchables. In my kingdom, there are none those that are forgotten. In my kingdom, everyone is welcome. Everyone can come in. Everyone can experience grace.
No matter what. That's the kingdom that Jesus Christ brought to earth. We live in an age we're really scared. We're really afraid. We're really frightened. And it isn't just the world, is it?
It has been us, don't we? For just as our world has fallen, so are we. Just as our world is imperfect, so are we. Just as our world is spinning out of control. Sometimes the only thing spinning more out of control than the world is our own souls. Sometimes the only thing spinning more out of control than the world is our lives. Sometimes, as crazy as the world may seem, our lives may seem worse. And we are just so tired, so exhausted, so afraid, and so scared.
We see that in our own lives, stories
that we'd like to erase. Wouldn't it be great if you had like a magic whiteout? You could go back into your life and white out mistakes. White out failings. White out relationships. White out grief. Just take this magic white out pen and just white it away. To where you never see it again. You never remember it again. And it's gone. That's the world we live in. Where we're going. We see that in Revelation, that we're going to a place where there is no more sickness, and no more pain, and no more fears, and no more death, and no more of these things. And y'all, we're going to a land where there will be no more cancer. We're going to a land where no child will ever die before their parents. We're going to a land where there will be no more addiction. We're going to a land no more depression. We're going to a land where there'll be no more poverty. We're going to a land where there'll be no more brokenness. We're going to a land where all these things that kill us, that drive us, that hurt us, that claw us, will be gone. Y'all, I can't wait. There's going to be a day with no more temptation. A day with no more death. A day when God will wipe away every tear from our eye, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light. I'm not a pie in the sky, bye-bye guy. I think some Christians are so heavenly minded that they're no longer good. I'm not that guy. But I'm telling you, y'all, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day. I can't wait. So we see where we're going.
But how do we get there? How do we get there?
And the vision said that he saw these saints in white. He said, who are these guys? And it says, they are the one who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That Jesus Christ is the only way that we get there. Jesus Christ is our ticket, our plan, our purchase, our way into this. So where are we now? We're in the land of brokenness. Where are we going? We're going home. How do we get there? We get there through Jesus. But you know our great problem in the world today is that we don't want to go to heaven. Because life is good. And we're comfortable. And we love this world more than we love eternity. We love our comfort. And we place our identity in things that don't matter. We place our identity in things that are temporal. We place our identity in stuff in this world, stuff that can be taken. And you know why we're so pensive, and we're so tense, and we're so scared, and we're so afraid? Because our identity is not found in that which is eternal, but our identity is found in something that can be taken like that. Our identity is found in our homes, and our jobs, and our security, and our money, and our status, and all of these things that can be taken like that. Houses can be destroyed. Go look at Katrina. Jobs can be lost. Families can be broken. Status can come down. And none of this stuff really matters, y'all. None of the stuff that we place our identity in matters. None of the stuff that we value matters. The only thing in life that matters is Jesus. As much as I love my family, Jesus is first. As much as I love my church, Jesus is first. As much as I love God, Jesus is first. And if He is not first in your life, then you're never going to be happy no matter what you're doing. Ever.
C.S. Lewis says this. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered us. But like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer at a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased.
God offers us life eternal, life with purpose, life with meaning. But we are far too pleased with this temporal stuff of the world, which will be gone, which will disappear, which will not last. And we place our identity in things that simply are not important. We don't want heaven. We think we've got a good here. We really don't, y'all. And that's to our shame. To our loss. We are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased. There's something so much better. At the end of the day, we're too comfortable here to really want that which matters.
One of the joys of being a pastor is in those moments when death draws near, when others are pushed away and excused out the door, I'm invited into those moments. I've had the great privilege of being beside many a saint of God as they've drawn their last breath upon the earth. When I was in Philadelphia, I'll never forget this,
There was an old saint that died. He loved the Lord. He loved his family. He loved his church. Godly. He was a little bitty old fellow. He was godly. Yeah, you just think about it. Backbone of steel. And he was close to death. Family called me over, and I sat with the family at that moment. I was holding his wife's hand as he drew his last. You know, I don't know. This is my opinion. It's my opinion. I think towards the end of his life, the wall between us and eternity grows thin. I think the wall grows thin and gets frayed. And we can start getting glimpses of things. And towards the end of his life, he was sitting there. And he kind of cleared up and his eyes got bright. He said, "Do you hear? Do you hear? What? Hear what's it? The angels. Don't they sound beautiful?" And a few minutes later, he passed. Now, that could have been his brain misfiring, sure. Could have been some synapses, sure, it's very possible. I don't think so. I think he saw something. I think he saw something. And I think he heard something that we couldn't hear. He experienced something that we couldn't experience. And he saw something worth living for. He saw life. He saw the beauty of God. He saw the glory of God. He saw something that our eyes have not seen, nor our thoughts have not thought. And he saw life. And I saw more joy on his face in that exact moment than I have seen on anyone's face in all of my life. Because he was not easily pleased. But he was alive. He's now more alive than we are. We are far too easily pleased. But we live for that which is temporal and fading and